Welcome to the Grace Fellowship Church of Ephrata podcast. Our desire is to help you grow in your journey with Jesus, no matter where you are. For more information, please check out our website at www.gfchurch.net.
Anyway, if you're a guest, my name is Dan. I'm the pastor here and get to open up God's word every week. You just sang a couple songs of importance. You sang, Lord, I Need You, and that song's talking about our desperation for God in our life, for guidance, for filling us. You also just sang, I Surrender All, that I remember singing when I was a little kid in church when I was raised, and talking about, I'm willing to give everything up to you. You put those two together, you're saying, I'm willing to give up anything that you ask me to so that you can fill me up. And we could not ask for more timely songs with what we are going to wrap up our series with today. As we talk about something that is probably not natural, and I don't even know when the last time was that you maybe even have done this, but still a discipline, something that as believers, if we want to know God and hear from him, we should be practicing in our life on a somewhat regular basis. Now, many of you, I think, are probably familiar. There's a very famous singer out there named Michael Bublé. He's a Canadian, and I forgive him for that. Michael Bublé, I enjoy him because I listen to all kinds of music. Most of you know that. I listen to international music, and jazz is one of my favorites as well. And so he's got the big band vibe, sounds like a Frank Sinatra type, Tony Bennett, all that. So great voice. What you may not realize is that about 7 years ago, Michael Bublé had retired from music. Now, we don't necessarily know that because he's still singing. He's got NBC specials at Christmas time and so on. But he retired. And the reason that he retired, he was at the height of his career. He was doing well, selling millions of records and all of this. Something happened that changed him. His oldest son, named Noah, who was about 7 years old, was found with liver cancer. And he had a choice to make in his life. He could either continue on in his career and just hope that his wife was taking care of his child and getting all the treatments and all of that, or he would walk away from it to be at home to help take care of his son. Now, most of you would be like, well, it's a no-brainer. I'd go with my family. But you are walking away from fame, height of your career, millions of dollars. Everywhere you go, people know you. And Michael Bublé did what I think many of us would say we would do if we were in his shoes, and that is he chose to retire at this point from the music career because at that point, he did not know if his son would ever recover. And he said it was a wrestle in him because you're successful and you could justify staying in your music career. You could justify being famous in some sense to say, well, you're giving the people what they want, or I'm providing for my family so my kid can get treatments and all of this. But he chose his family first. He chose his family first. Now, the good news was that after about 3 or 4 years, his son did recover. He did go into remission. And he picked up with his career after that with his wife and the kids' blessing. And, you know, he continues on and making great music and so on. This whole event caused him to question the fragility of life and what is really important. When it all comes down, what's really important in life? And I think we all, as I said, would like to think we would do the same thing as him. We give up something important in our life for something more important. In his case, it's his kid. I think all of us sit there, and it's very easy for us to have an opinion about what people should do in circumstances when we're not actually in those same circumstances. We're really good at being armchair life counselors and telling people how to live their life while not necessarily knowing exactly what they're going through. He chose to give up something important for something even more important, his family. And this is what brings us to what we are talking about today, why I highlight those two songs that we talked about, and is this idea of fasting. Just a simple definition of this, fasting is the practice of giving up something to make space for God's presence. It's giving up something to make space for God's presence. Now, I'm not saying that Michael Bublé fasted. But he did give up something for something more important. Fasting is that for us. It's when we give up something for something more important. In this case, making space for God's presence in our life, focusing on him. And we'll talk more about it and see scripture about this as we move forward. Now, fasting gets thrown around a lot. Over the last 10 years, it's become this trendy diet thing to do intermittent fasting. Some of you may have tried it, you know, where you only eat for like, whatever, 4 to 8 hours, and then you don't get to eat for like, you know, the rest of time, and you keep doing this, and it does work. It's effective and all this. Now, that's great. You lose weight, okay? That's wonderful. That is not the point of fasting. So let me nip this in the bud. After Super Bowl is done and you've eaten all of your wings and jalapeno poppers and chips and pizza and all that stuff, the real dieting begins tomorrow, not January 1st. The real dieting begins tomorrow. Intermittent fasting, if you choose to do it, great, wonderful. Just don't call that spiritual fasting, because it's not. It has nothing to do with that. That's just a way of getting a rhythm within your eating. Fasting is giving up something for God's presence in our life. Most of the time, as we will talk about, you set a time for this, a time frame, and several other dynamics that you would want to consider as we move forward with this. So as we talk about practicing perfect being the basics of our faith, this is the last one I want to talk about. This tends to go hand in hand with prayer, because when we fast, prayer is a significant part of that time that we have because we've given up something. So what we talked about last week, don't forget that. If you weren't here, catch it online. You can watch the sermon again, listen to it. I sound better online than I do in person. So there's some incentive for you. But it goes hand in hand with fasting. It goes hand in hand with fasting. Now, as I talked about last week I started off by saying, where did prayer even start? We looked back in Genesis and we saw where men began to call out on God. Well, I wanted to do the same with fasting, because sometimes we have traditions in the church that we don't talk about. Hey, here's where this started. This is when this began. And so I wanted to talk about fasting when we first see it in Scripture. And it's not maybe a typical example of fasting, but it's found in Exodus 34, verses 27 to 28. You can follow along in your own Bible. We're going to have it up here on the screen as well. But Exodus 34, 27 to 28, let me set it up. Moses has been given the Ten Commandments. And he goes back down to the children of Israel, sees that they made a golden calf, gets ticked off, smashes them, rightfully so, because they did something wrong. And God calls Moses back up to cut a new copy, if you will, of the Ten Commandments. And so in Exodus 34, 27 to 28, it says this, "And the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant or an agreement with you and with Israel." So he was there with the Lord, how long? That's just a light fast, right? 40 days and 40 nights, he neither ate bread nor drank water. And why did he not do it? Because he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. He made his second copy of them. Moses was having this incredible time with God the Father. He's there at the top of a mountain. He's taking it all in. The presence of God he is in. And he is so caught up in the presence of God. He's so caught up in what God is telling him to do that he's sitting there and he's doing exactly what God asked him without eating for 40 days and 40 nights. No, Moses did not say, "Time out, God. I need to go get a Snickers." He did not say anything about snack. He didn't say anything about drinking. And God sustained him during this time. I just saw this past week, like, how long you can go without food. Believe it or not, you are supposed to be able to go 60 to 80 days without food. I'm not going to try that, but 60 to 80 days without food. Water is supposed to be maybe a week, week and a half. So how did he make it 40 days and 40 nights? And this is where I see God sustaining him in this, as he devoted time and focus to God and being in his presence. Moses was focused on doing what God had given him to do, and that's all that mattered right then. He did not think about walking away from it. He did not think about, can we take a break, God? He just wanted to do what God had called him to. And so we see a person breaking away, removing something, food and water, and replacing it, making space for God as he was doing a task. Later on, in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29, God institutes the first formal fast. Moses was sort of informal. It kind of happened. But now Leviticus 16:29, we see this instruction given to the people of Israel. And it shall be a statute, a rule to you forever, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall what? I want to hear everyone say this out loud. You shall what? Afflict yourselves and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. This is the first glimpse of a fast. And you say, well, Dan, it doesn't say fast. Well, actually, it does. The word for afflict yourself is also translated fast, to give up, to create time with God. What is being talked about in this passage here is a very important day on the Hebrew calendar, and that is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when sins were atoned for every year. And so this Yom Kippur, part of Yom Kippur, is for 24 hours, you don't eat, you don't work, you spend time in prayer. And this is what is given to the Jewish people to put into practice as a part of worshiping God and having sins atoned for with the Old Testament law. This became traditional. All of a sudden, throughout the rest of the Old Testament, as many of you are reading through the Bible right now, you're going to see times when fasting is recommended. And often it's a time of grief. The city has fallen. Our people have fallen, and we're grieving, and so we fast before the Lord. You see it in times of worship and rejoicing. We are going to have a fast of the Lord, a time of worship and praise. You see it whenever things are going south. You see it when they need to repent of their sin. They say, we need to repent of this sin as a nation. We're going to fast. You see it when they grieve. You see it happen multiple times all throughout the Old Testament, that fasting is just kind of a normal thing that you do, especially when you need God in your life, especially when you need to invite God into your space in a significant way. And it is not a surprise that the word there, afflict yourselves, is used, because fasting may feel like affliction, not something fun. I don't know too many people who are like, I am giving up food for 2 weeks just for fun. I want to shake your hand if that's you. Old Testament covers all these different fasts. And then Jesus comes on the scene at the beginning of the New Testament. And Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, goes into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. That sounds really familiar. It's like we just read a verse that said that. 40 days and 40 nights. He fasts for those 40 days and 40 nights. He's tempted by the devil in that. The devil, the first way that he tempts him is how? Anyone remember? You can say it out loud. We're all family here. Goes with bread, right? His hunger. He goes right after it. Satan tempts him with food. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God. That is the first way that he's attacked. It's often the first way we're attacked, when something like food is missing. And Jesus later on would teach, and this is the last passage I want us to look at, Matthew 6:16-18. Jesus would later on teach about fasting. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says these words, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus teaches us some significant things about fasting here, some that we'll review here in just a second. He says, when you're fasting, he talks about, don't contort your face. Don't look like you're suffering. This is a spiritual act between you and God, where you are creating space in your normal routine, giving up something that seems normal and necessary for life to create space for something even more normal and even more necessary in your life, your time with God, your time in prayer, your time in focused obedience to Him. And Jesus teaches us it's not about what you get out of it, but it's about what you and God have in this time, this spiritual connection time. It's not what people think about you with fasting. Don't worry about that. You don't need to present yourself as ultra spiritual. This is about you in secret connecting with God for an elapsed time of giving something up in this thing called fasting. We learned several things about this. And what we need to know about fasting, about what Jesus teaches us here. Number one, it is normal, not atypical. It's normal, not atypical. Well, how do I know that it's normal? The first three words that Jesus said in Matthew 6 is, and when, let me add a fourth word, you fast. I didn't do my math right in my head there. And when you fast. And when you fast, that gives sort of that idea that this is normal, everybody. Now, it would have been normal in that time because, again, still Old Testament laws kind of being going on. And the Pharisees had implemented a whole bunch more fasts at this time. Jesus treated fasting as just one of those normal things, as normal as going to church, singing some songs, going on missions trips. This was a normal part of their life, and it should be a normal part of our life, not typical. Like I said, eating is normal. If you don't believe eating is normal, count how many food ads are on during the Super Bowl tonight. And I'm not just talking all the Doritos ones, okay? Food is normal. People eat. You get hungry. It's why you have a lunch break at work or a dinner break at work. It's normal. And so when you give up normal to devote to God to create space for Him, that may seem atypical and weird, but in all reality, Jesus says, and when you fast, this is normal. This is part of life. Second thing that we see about this is it is desperation when we fast, not manipulation. We are showing a desperation for God. As I said, you guys just sang this whole song. I sang with you, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need you. How easy is a song to sing? But how hard is it to actually sometimes live up to those songs? Because sometimes I can sing, Lord, I need you, and think, I got everything I need. I got this figured out, God. Don't need you. At the heart of fasting is a desperation for God, a connection with Him, answers from Him. When I fast, it is a sign of desperation, not manipulation, where I'm going to say, God, I'm going to do this, and because I do this, you have to do this for me. Desperation is at the heart of fasting. You know, often we ask ourselves important questions, such as, what would you do for a Klondike bar? And I remember a series of commercials for Klondike about how desperate people would be for a Klondike bar. And a guy shaved off his eyebrows. It's like, great. That's wonderful. Would I shave off my eyebrows to hear an answer from God? And I'm not saying we should do that because I don't want to see any eyebrowless people next week. But you get the idea that that's desperation. I need you, God. I need to hear from you. I need an answer. I'm not manipulating Him. Third, we learn from Jesus that it is private, not a production. That's why He says, you know what? Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't disfigure your face. Don't do all this weird stuff to draw attention upon yourself. When you fast, it is private. People should not know. It should be your utmost commitment to make sure nobody has any idea that you're even fasting to begin with. If it's food you're giving up, which is what most people will do for a fast, you don't have to broadcast it everywhere. Because Jesus said the hypocrites do this. And why do they do it? They do it for praise. They do it for what everyone's going to think about them. Wow, they really look like they're suffering in Jesus' name. I hope I can be as holy as them. You know, you disfigure your face like this up on the screen. You know, I have it so bad. I won't forget. I talked about fasting with my youth group back in the day, and I had a student who said, that's a cool idea. I'm going to do that this week. And he happened to attend the school that was right at the church that I was at, the Christian school. And the next day, all I saw and heard from him was him walking around going, oh, man, I'm so hungry. Oh, and he was doing it loud. He wasn't doing it quietly to me, and he would be telling everybody, I haven't eaten in over 48 hours. And I love him, and he had a great heart and all that, great kid, but he was fishing for the, oh, wow, you must really be committed to God. And I loved him, but I knew that was motivation. I had to talk to him about it afterwards. But think about that. That's exactly what the hypocrites, Jesus says, were doing. They wanted people to think they were super spiritual. Oh, wow, you must really be devoted to God. And so they made a big drama about it. They were the original drama queens, okay? They were the ones who were seeking the praise of man. And Jesus said there, I love it. He's like, if that's what you're going for, truly, you received your reward. Good job. You got all the praise of man. Wonderful. That's all you're getting, but you got the praise of man. Seems to me we should be aiming for something more. And that's why the fourth one is, it is a spiritual thing as much as it is physical. It's not just giving up physical food. This is a spiritual time of sharpening ourselves, of connecting with God in an intimate, a deeper way. Some of you who are in, you're married or in a dating relationship, you want that devoted time to that person that you're married to or you're dating, uninterrupted by, you know, whatever, jobs or anything. You want that focused time. And you often will walk away from those times feeling reconnected. And fasting at its essence is reconnecting with God in a spiritual manner by giving up something physically. There's a story that I heard Tony Evans, the pastor out of Texas, one of my favorites, talk about. And he said there were two lumberjacks, an old one and a young one. And the young lumberjack was all cocky, thought he was all that great stuff, you know, like a lot of young people do. Thought he was so much better than the old guy, and he knew more than the old guy. So he challenges this old lumberjack to a wood cutting competition. And then the old guy's like, sure, let's do it. And so it begins, and the young guy has his axe, and he's just cutting down trees like lightning fast. He just flies. He doesn't stop at all. He just keeps going and going and going. And every once in a while, he looks over. And after an hour has passed, he notices the old guy who was cutting trees is now sitting down for a while. And the young guy's like, I ain't going to smoke this guy. So he keeps cutting down, and he notices the old guy gets back up and starts cutting again. But then he does it again. After about another hour, he sits down. And this young guy's like, man, this is embarrassing for him. I haven't stopped yet. And at the end of the competition, they total up the amount of logs, and lo and behold, the older lumberjack won. And the young guy's like, what is going on? How is this even possible? I never stopped. You were sitting over there for time. How on earth did you beat me? He said, you see, I wasn't just sitting over there. I was sharpening my axe. I was making sure that I had a good, sharp blade. You didn't. You were cutting on a dull axe. And you were wearing yourself out, doing more work than you needed to. In a sense, this is how fasting works. Just like the old lumberjack took time to sharpen his axe, refocus himself, regain his energy, fasting needs to be that for us in a spiritual sense. That we are focusing and sharpening our relationship with God in our time of fasting. And making it that we can go long. Some of us are burnt out. I know in this church, some of us are closing. We've been burning the candle on three ends. If you don't know how that even works, I'll explain it to you sometime, okay? You're tired, and we are facing burnout constantly. As a guy who wrestles with that often, it's very easy to burn yourself out, and I need to be intentional about those focused times of fasting and connecting with God to sharpen my axe again, to continue so I can go a longer time than just burning myself out. So why should you fast? A couple reasons why. I want to consider and encourage you, even if you're in school, you consider fasting. If you have a relationship with Jesus, there's no reason you can't do this. Again, don't draw attention to it. But make sure that you consider this as something when you desperately need God in a situation, that you need his presence in your life. One of the first reasons that most people will do fasting is for guidance. They need God to give them direction into something in their life. In Ezra 8:23, you see them doing it. It says, so we fasted and implored our God for this direction that they needed, and he listened to our entreaty. You see this all throughout Scripture. People have a problem. They need guidance. They don't know what the right answer is. And so they fast. They asked God, God, what am I supposed to do with this? God, what am I supposed to do for my job that's telling me I need to move across the country? God, what am I supposed to do in my marriage when we receive this point that it doesn't seem that we can get past? God, what do I have to do when I have a friend who I know is making bad decisions in their life and I need to confront them? I need to know, God. And so we set aside a time of fasting and say, God, I'm devoting this time. I'm clearing my calendar, opening it up for you, even to give up something as precious as food, even to give up something as precious as whatever it is in your life, that I can devote that time to prayer and connection with you. It's when we need guidance. Sometimes we just try to push through guidance, maybe read a few self-help books or get some counsel from a friend, and we go off that. Sometimes we just need to reconnect with God through fasting. That's the first reason. The second, or John Calvin said this about this. The great church father said, whenever men are to pray to God concerning any great matter, it would be expedient to appoint fasting along with prayer. John Calvin got it. If we are about to ask God for some great guidance in our life, and matters are great in our life, then it would be wise for us, it would make sense, expedient, to fast along with prayer. Guidance is important. But secondly, repentance. You see this in the Old Testament a lot, that people would fast when they repent from sin. Psalm 96:10, the psalmist says, when I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I humbled myself with fasting because of sin in my life, I fast and I reconnect with God. In a sense, we repent and we draw near to God again. We seek to make our relationship, to heal the relationship with God, because we know sin has come in the way. So it is important for us. If there is a sin that we know we have been struggling with and maybe we are truly intent on giving up, it is a good idea to consider a fast with God, to reconnect with Him over the sin that we have been dealing with, confronted with, and we want to make a significant change in our life. Third, grief. Grief, we see this with Nehemiah back in chapter 1, verses 4. We see when he hears about the walls falling back in Israel, he says, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah, you also saw, fasted for direction. You also see Esther. We just talked about Esther a little while ago. She fasted for guidance and direction and so on, and even the last one we'll see in just a second. Times of heartbreak in our life remind us of who sustains us when we fast. If I am grieving a loss, if I'm grieving a prodigal child, if I am grieving something in our nation, when I go to a point of fasting, it is reminding me of who sustains me, where all my life and direction comes from. And so it seems appropriate that in grief that we do fast and we do give up, to create space for God in our life again, because we need Him in those moments of grief. And the fourth reason is a commissioning. This one you see every once in a while. Somebody is about to go out to do a mission or a calling of God. In Acts 14:3, you see it says, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. You see this again through Scripture, that sometimes when somebody is asked to do something great for God, that they start with fasting. Before they even set foot out, they start with fasting, almost as a point of a reset or a refocus before they go to serve God in a big way. Before big steps of faith in ministry, it clears your mind before you go out. Let's say we have a missions trip, you know, in a year or something like that, and you decide to go on this mission trip. There is nothing wrong with even a short-term, long-term trip for you to just fast a little before it and say, God, I am going into this in faith. Show in me what you need to show in me. Teach me and use me the way that you want to teach and use me. It's just a great idea and a way to start your commissioning. couple things with this. The first one we mentioned with guidance and commissioning. Fasting was something that I did before I went into youth ministry. And the first church I took was over in Graterford, Pennsylvania. That was my first time really with part-time youth ministry. And I fasted if that was even the church I was supposed to go to. And the Lord confirmed it through several different things. And then before I went, I did the same thing. I fasted as I walked into it because this was all new to me going into ministry. And so I thank the Lord for those times because I heard very clearly from Him in those times. And I encourage you to do the same in your life with that. My point today is this, that fasting empties and fills us at the same time. You may say, Dan, that's a paradox. Yes, it empties you of something that's not necessarily bad. It empties you of that, but it fills you up with the thing that is of most primary importance. God, our sustainer of life, our Father. When I fast, I give up to be filled up. Fasting is incomplete. This is why I go back to the whole diet thing at the beginning. Fasting is incomplete if all I'm doing is just giving up something and going about my day. Fasting is that whatever it is that I've given up, the time that I spent on that, I'm now devoting to the Lord, devoting to His Word, devoting to prayer, devoting to being in His presence, devoting to just being silent sometimes. That is fasting. It fills us up in the way we need to be filled up. So as we end this morning, I have two really, really clear challenges for you. Whether you've walked with Jesus a long time or whether you've only just begun following Him. First off is I want to encourage people here to commit to a fast. To pick a time. Let me give you all the guidance with this. First off, commit to a fast. And here's why. We've seen why. We've seen it all throughout Scripture. We've seen what Jesus has said about it. We've seen what the purpose of it is. To create space for God. If you are going to commit to a fast, four things that I encourage you to do with this. Number one, check your motivation as to why you're doing it. Are you doing it for the praise of other people to think that you're really spiritual? Are you committing to a fast for a motivation such as manipulating God? You know, if I do this, He has to answer my prayer request. Let me tell you, that's not going to work right, okay? If you think you're going to manipulate God, He's got the whole almighty sovereign thing going on. Okay? Check your heart why you are fasting and make sure that it is I desperately need God and I'm willing to give up whatever this is to devote time to Him. Second thing with that is to set a time frame. Set a time frame. Say I'm going to do this for 24 hours, I'm going to do this for a week. Whatever it is, set the time frame and be very clear on that. Doesn't mean you can't extend it, but set a clear time frame. Don't just go into it like, oh, let me see how long I can do this. Because I know people that do that, and it doesn't work well. Because as soon as they see the ad for a cheeseburger, they're hungry, okay? Set a time frame with this. This helps you to stay focused on the end goal of this. It's committed to the Lord. It's set apart to the Lord. You know what? Start small if you need to. Start small. Third is to set your sacrifice. Let me say this. Food is 95% of the time what a fast is. But some people can't do this because of diet issues and so on. It can be dangerous for your health and so on. Maybe you choose to give up just like breakfast and lunches and you only eat a dinner. That's okay. What's important is the time that you normally devote to them, what are you doing with that? But it doesn't have to just stop there. I can skip meals. Piece of cake. I wasn't having cake, sorry. That was a really weird choice of words. There's actually been two or three years where my choice for me as a fast so that I can devote time to God. I give up something that's okay for something that's much better. Was when I did a long commute to work, 15 to 20 minutes. I know for some of you, you're like, that's a long commute to work. I do 45. Okay, it was long for me, right? 15 to 20 minutes. I love music. I listen to music constantly. If you come in my office, it's probably playing, okay? Music, I love it. Instead of listening to music or podcasts in my car for the 15 to 20 minute commute, I prayed out loud in my car radio off. People driving by either thought I was singing along or I'd lost my mind or I was on the phone. And for those 15 to 20 minutes, and for me, I did it through the whole season of Lent thing. I did it like, you know, it'd be the 18th this year through Easter. I just was trying it to see how it would go. It was weird at first that I didn't have music on and I was just talking to God out loud. But let me tell you something. I got into a week of it and it was awesome. It was awesome. For me, I chose to give up something, not bad, to give it up or to put replace it with something really good. You need to pray about what that is because all of us know our vices. Maybe it's you just give up social media and instead of the time that you would be doom scrolling, you devote it to prayer. You devote it to God's word instead. You read his word instead of people's tweets. Or maybe you give up, oh, here we go. Maybe you give up news for 40 days. I say that because that is some of ours, including in the past with me, that was my vice. And if you were to tell me to give up news for 40 days, I'd say, what is wrong with you? I'll give up a sandwich before I give up the news. And yet sometimes we are quicker to go to that or to social media to fill up our minds. We're more bent out of shape if we can't get that than we are missing time in God's word. What voices are we listening to and committed to? You should feel the sacrifice. Remember earlier the verse that said that it was an affliction? You should feel your fast. If it's like, I can do this in my sleep, it's not much of a fast. You should feel it. Lastly is just the plan your replacement. What are you going to fill that time with? Is it God's word? Silence? Is it prayer? What is it that you're going to fill that time that you're giving up with to connect with God? That's my four steps with that, and I can post those a little bit later. I would say on social media, but if you're going to give it up like today, then you won't see it until you're done. But I want to get those out there because that helps with formulating a fast. Lastly, this. Ask yourself this. What can't I give up for what I shouldn't give up? If you're like, what does that even mean? Ask yourself sort of what I just talked about. What is the one thing you could not give up? And I'm saying that in a bad sense. You're so dependent upon it. You so need it in your life that you would not dare give it up to fill it up with what you need to fill it up with, God. One thing about fasting that I have learned in my own experience is it quickly reveals what my idols are. Because if you find yourself twitching because you need your phone, you find yourself twitching because, you know, you desperately can't get food off your mind, you quickly learn what your idols are. And that is something that we as believers should be aware of in our life, our weakness. I hope you'll consider this. I'm not putting any mandate. I'm not going to say, church, we're going to fast this week. This is between you and the Lord. Remember to be in secret, between you and the Lord, to reconnect with him. But I want you to prayerfully consider it. If you need guidance, if you need some of these things that we talked about, repentance, so on, grief in your life, pray about it. Set the groundwork for it, and then expect to hear from God in that time because he wants to connect with you during it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the thing that you give us of fasting. I thank you that even though it is unpleasant at times, I thank you for the filling up that you give us, that you minister to us in a real way when we cut out the distractions and the things that are good and maybe important for the thing that is most important and really good. Lord, as you help us to make this a regular discipline in our life as we seek your presence, I ask that for those that choose to take up the challenge to begin a fast, to connect with you, that, Lord, you would make it one of the most beneficial times that they ever remember in their walk with you. That you would show up, that you would speak clearly and direct, that you would minister to us if we're grieving or repenting of sin, that this is a time of that we just know the healing that has begun between us and you. Lord, may it not just be something that we do religiously because that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. May it be something that we are desperate for you, Let me say, Lord, I need you, and I am willing to surrender it all. Whatever it is, I will surrender it to reconnect with you, to hear from you. God, I'm desperate for you. God, do not let us just walk out the doors here and forget all about it. Don't let us forget it tonight. Remind us of it constantly. And God, may this prove to be a turning point, even for us as a church, as we seek your presence and seek your guidance and seek your direction. Help us to experience the richness of this as a church. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. If you would like prayer, you can send your prayer request in to prayer@gfchurch.net and we will pray for you. If you like this message, don't forget to subscribe on the podcast app, Google or Spotify. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to seeing you next week.